All right, good morning. Well, every Sunday it is my responsibility and it is my joy to be with you and to study the Word of God with you. And today I am especially excited because we get to handle a passage of Scripture that reflects God's ongoing care for His church. For the month of January, we have been going through a series titled Living as a Community in a Season of Change. And this series is something that we need because it is timely for us. This year is going to be a year of transition for our church. Now, this series is meant to culminate on the day of our annual churchwide meeting. That is next Sunday. Next Sunday, we will have a slightly shorter service. And then after the service, we will review 2016 and we will look forward to what awaits us in 2017. Everyone is encouraged to be at that meeting, not just members. We think it is important that everyone knows what is going on in the life of the church. And one of the topics that we will discuss at our annual meeting is the subject that we are going to look at this morning. That is the role of elders within the church. As we currently stand, the church is run through a board of directors. That board consists of three lay men, three volunteers from the church, and myself. It is our desire that we would transition from a board of directors model of leadership to an eldership. Now, this word, eldership, is a word that can cause deep emotions or apprehension in some people, depending on their experience with it in the past. Matter of fact, I've heard one pastor argue that Christians tend to approach this topic in one of three ways. And the first way that some approach this topic is with conflict. You see, when the scriptures talk about eldership, it also talks about authority and submission. And those are two words that almost immediately create resistance in some minds. And there's a reason for this resistance to authority and submission. For one, resistance to authority is kind of like the story of all of creation, is it not? I mean, who were the first people to resist authority? Yeah, was it not Adam and Eve in the garden who decided to ignore the command that God gave them to not eat of the fruit of knowledge, and yet they did it. They resisted God's authority. But really, resistance to authority goes back even before that. Before Adam and Eve, it was Satan who rejected the authority of God and decided to take authority into his own hands. And part of the ongoing work part of his ongoing work in this world is to get us to join him in this resistance, in this rebellion of God's authority. And so if you respond to conflict on this, if your response is conflict on this biblical idea of eldership, I would encourage you to please search your heart and ask for the Lord to reveal whether or not this response to eldership is at its heart a rejection of God's authority and design for his church. Now, it's quite possible that another reason for your response of conflict is that you have seen elders misuse their authority at a church that you were at before. Elders are still broken people in need of God's grace, and it would not surprise me at all to hear stories from within this congregation of those who have sat under the authority of those who have abused their responsibility as an elder. If that is you this morning, there are two things that I want you to consider. First off, an abuse of something from Scripture doesn't give us an excuse to ignore it in our lives or in the church. One possible example of this would be prayer. Multiple times in Jesus' teaching, he called out those who abused prayer. He called out those who prayed on street corners so that they could be seen by all and be praised. He called out those who, instead of humbly coming before their God, would approach God in pride, saying, "Thank you, God, that I am not like those sinners over there." And in light of these abuses of prayer, what did Jesus tell believers to do? To stop praying? No, absolutely not. What did he say? He told them to stop praying like them who abuse prayer. But he didn't tell them to stop praying. Of course, any structure of leadership that we have runs the risk of abuse. It runs the risk because there are broken people involved in it. But the potential abuse should not stop us from pursuing righteous and God-honoring eldership within our church. And the second thing I would ask you to consider is the current structure of our leadership here at FOC. We are accustomed to seeing people in power make changes in order to solidify or strengthen their power. Isn't that the way the world works? We expect them to do the things that help them the most. If that was the case here at Fellowship, we would never have this conversation today. The board of directors would never propose a transition of eldership because that very change limits their power, increases their accountability to the church, and invites more people into leadership. That's one of the things that I love about this transition to eldership as a church, because it goes against the very grain of how this world operates. If the board, as it currently stands, was concerned about power, then they would keep things as they are. But that isn't their concern. Instead, they are inviting more people into this group. They are taking on additional work, not power, and it is the work of caring for the people of the church directly. This is the opposite way that the world operates, and I love it, because it reveals a great concern in the hearts of these men. Not a concern for hanging on to power, but a concern of providing biblical, God-ordained care for God's people. That's a good thing, and it's something that we should celebrate as a church. So, one possible approach to the idea of eldership is conflict. The second approach is confusion. And this may be where most of us are this morning. You may not have ever witnessed biblical eldership in a church that you were a part of before. You may not have ever heard biblical teaching on leadership, authority, and submission, and how they all fit together. Well, that's why we're going to look at the scriptures today. There are many passages that we could look at that describe eldership, the role of elders, and the qualification of elders. There are many passages that we can look at that speak on elders within the church as a foregone conclusion. The New Testament writers spoke of elders and expected there to be elders in the churches. Of course, we can't cover all of them this morning, and so I have included in your sermon outline a list of passages for your own study. Please, don't take my word for it. Search the scriptures. The final possible approach this morning is what I would believe to be the approach that God is desiring from us. That approach is contentment. We are content, not because we are trusting leadership into the hands of a few who will never fail or let us down. No, there will be hiccups along the way. We are content because we have searched the scriptures and we see that the approach of eldership is biblical and right. That eldership is God's plan for leadership within the church. And because it is God's plan, you are happy to live within the parameters that God has laid out. You are content to live in the realm of what God has designed. You have embraced the thought that because God said it, you are content to live under his design and authority. And what he has designed for the church is eldership. Now, I've spent a lot of time talking about the things around eldership and not much about eldership itself. And so let's go to the scriptures and see what we find there about eldership. The passage that we're going to look at this morning is written by Peter. He is writing to churches who are experiencing great turmoil because of false teachers. Christians are being deceived by these false teachers and beginning to embrace false and ungodly lifestyles and practices and thoughts. They are being pressured and persecuted by these false teachers. Peter writes to them to encourage them to hold on to the truth and to live faithfully to God. And in the midst of all this turmoil, Peter addresses the elders. He addresses the leaders. He addresses them specifically so that they would not neglect God's people in the midst of such a turbulent time. And it is from this passage that we will discover this truth about authority and leadership and eldership within the church, and that is this: God has designed the church so that some would be responsible for all, and all would be responsible to the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be studying the responsibility and the role of elders from the fifth chapter of 1 Peter. And so if you have a Bible with you, I encourage you to go ahead and turn there with me. We'll begin at the beginning of that chapter. So that's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. If you need a Bible this morning, there are Bibles located underneath most of the seats in the room. And on the screen behind me, you will see the page number for those Bibles. As I've already mentioned, eldership is not about trusting in men to lead. It is about trusting in God and his design for the church. The psalmist writes in Psalm 64, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken." The same God you have trusted with your salvation has communicated to us these words that we're going to look at today on eldership. May we also trust him with his church. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the salvation that we experience through Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can call on him and that he forgives us and that we know, Lord, that we are one of your children and that we know that we are secure in you and that we will spend eternity with you. And not once, Lord, do we ever have to doubt your work in our lives through Jesus. God, I pray right now as we approach this topic of eldership, Lord, recognizing, Lord, that there may be some among us, Father, who have been hurt, Lord, by elders in the past or have had negative experiences in some way. Lord, I pray that we would all, Lord, regardless of our past, Lord, that we would submit ourselves to your word as the final authority in our lives. Help us, Father, to know and to walk faithfully after you, not only as individuals, but as a body, Lord. May we as a church faithfully walk after you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all that you have blessed us with. In your son's name we pray. Amen. There is a saying, as the leaders go, so go the nation or the business or the church. The point is, leadership is incredibly important. Poor leadership is the reason for much of the troubles that faced God's people throughout the scriptures. And so as Peter writes to the churches, exhorting them to remain strong and to be faithful, he makes a special point to call out the leaders, to call out the elders, because they play a very important role in the spiritual vitality of the church. And so let's read Peter's words, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, he will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Or you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. What Peter has said to this point has been for the church at large. But now, at least for a few verses, he is speaking to the elders of the churches. I've included in your sermon insert some of the many references about elders in the New Testament. As you look up these passages, you will notice how often elders are associated with leadership positions within the church. You will see that that churches in Jerusalem had elders. You'll see that Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in all the churches they visited during their first missionary journey. When other church leaders visited Paul and in Ephesus, those leaders were called elders. When someone was sick within the church, James encourages them to summon the elders to pray for them. It was the elders who were over the churches in Ephesus and in Crete. We find elders mentioned by many of the New Testament writers. Luke, Paul, Peter, and James all wrote about elders. We find elders present in the places where Christianity was spreading, in Jerusalem, Palestine, Crete, and all throughout Asia Minor. We find elders mentioned in plurality, meaning there wasn't just one elder over a church, but there were several elders who oversaw a church. The point I'm trying to make here is that the evidence from the New Testament makes it clear the early church depended on elders. Now, what we have in this passage is Peter reminding these elders of their responsibility of overseeing and taking care of God's flock. We have Peter describing for us the roles of elders. But before we look at these roles, let's look briefly at how Peter begins this chapter. He says in verse 1, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, I said welder, I'm going to do that again. I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed." Here we see Peter is writing to the elders, but we also see Peter describe himself in three ways. He is a fellow elder, he has witnessed the sufferings of Christ, and he will share in the glory to be revealed. At first glance, it may appear that Peter is simply giving his credentials. Hey, you should listen to me, and here is why. And this was a fairly common thing for the New Testament writers to do, but I don't think that's what Peter is doing here. Instead, I think he is seeking to encourage a group of Christians, a group of leaders, who are likely emotionally and physically exhausted from combating attack after attack from these false teachers. Leadership, if done selflessly, is difficult. It's draining. And Peter is seeking to encourage these exhausted elders. He reminds them that he is a fellow elder. He understands the burdens of selflessly leading. He reminds them that he has witnessed the sufferings of Christ. Yes, those he is writing to at this very moment are suffering, but they must not lose hope, for they are traveling the same road that Jesus traveled. Jesus walked the road of suffering. But at the end of that road, there was glory for Jesus. He was the Son of God, and he was reunited with God. So too, Peter is reminding these elders to walk the hard road, to endure the suffering, because at the end of the road, there is glory and eternity with Jesus. So Peter's point is clear. He is challenging the leadership to not give up, but to remain faithful to their calling. And that calling is addressed in verses 2 and 3. Peter writes, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Here we see the primary role of an elder. They are to function as shepherds of God's flock, watching over the flock. The shepherd cares, nurtures, and provides for the flock. The shepherd protects the flock from outside predators. The shepherd guides the flock. The role of the shepherd's staff is to guide the flock, but also to correct those sheep who are straying away from the flock. Just as a shepherd cares and leads a flock of sheep, so do elders care and lead the church. And this really gets to the heart of our transition at Fellowship of Champions from a board of directors to an eldership. The board of directors already handled all the needs of the church. If there was a decision that needed to be made in the church, they make it. So in many ways, the board of directors was already managing the flock and taking care of the flock, and it was doing a very good job in doing that. What was missing was not the overseeing of the shepherd, but the individual care of the shepherd. This is the biggest challenge for us. As part of our transition to eldership, each of the elders will be assigned a certain number of people from within the church to care for. They will regularly check in on these people, praying for them and making sure that they are growing and being cared for. This is one of the reasons why there will be more men added to the eldership. The current board members recognize that this is such a huge and vital responsibility that if it is to be done right, then we need to add additional qualified shepherds, additional qualified elders to care for the flock. Now, just because God has placed elders over the church, that doesn't mean that they can lead in any way in which they so please. And don't miss this either. Just because a person is successful in running a business or an organization doesn't mean that they can just take that approach to leadership and bring it into the church. No, Peter makes it clear that the elders are not leading their flock, but are leading God's flock. And since they are leading God's flock, elders will submit to God's expectations of them. And God has some very specific ways in which he expects his elders to lead. He says in verse 2 that elders are to lead not because they must, but because they are willing, as God wants them to be. A person should never take the role of eldership just because somebody has got to do it. A person should never take the role of eldership because they are pressured or encouraged to do so when they don't want to. No, he should take on this role because he desires to do it, because he desires to serve and care for the flock. And the reason for this is clear, isn't it? Those who serve only because they feel like they must will have no joy in their service. And likely, they will have no love in their interactions with the flock. There is no doubt in my mind that a church under that type of leadership, the leadership of unwilling elders, will suffer. Elders must lead in care because they desire to do so. They desire to be used by God in this very specific way. Also, Peter writes, men should not pursue eldership for the purpose of dishonest gain, but eager to serve. If you can't already tell, unlike most leadership positions in this world, the role of an elder is not about what a person can gain from it, but what that person is to do, to selflessly and willingly give of oneself for the benefit of others. A person must never take on the role of elder for his own gain, whether that be for the gain of power or for the gain of money. The greed for power or money are not just reasons to deny someone from eldership, but that also reveals an ignorance of the role of an elder. Eldership is not about you and what you get, but is about leading and caring for others, about looking after God's flock. And then lastly, Peter writes, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. While God has given elders a position of authority, they are not allowed to use this position of authority to oppress the flock. Quite the opposite. Instead of functioning as oppressors, they are to function as examples of Christ-likeness. And Jesus talked about this very thing in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 20. In that chapter, Jesus criticized the way that the Gentile rulers oppressed the people. This is what Jesus said. He said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, the call and responsibility of eldership is to be like Christ. If there was anyone who was a leader, it was him. But he didn't use his place of leadership for himself, but was a servant to all. So too are the elders of the church. They have not been given authority so that they can flex that authority whenever they want to, but have been given the heavy task of being an example of Christ's sacrificial service to the church. If you cannot already tell, it is not a light thing to take on oneself the role of an elder. It is an amazing responsibility. And this may be why God rewards those who faithfully serve in this role. Peter says in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The chief shepherd would be none other than Jesus. And when he returns, those who have served faithfully as elders will receive this reward. They will receive a crown of glory. Now, many wonder what is this crown of glory. Some believe it is simply the eternal life that all believers get to enjoy because of Christ, while others believe that it is some type of special reward just for elders. The reality is we don't know for sure. But what I am sure of is that on that day, those who have served and sacrificed for the sake of God's flock will know that it was worth it. And that day will be a day of joy. Now, just as Peter has covered the responsibility of elders, so he also in this passage covers the responsibility of the church. Continue with me in verse 5. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. In the same way that elders submit to and follow the leadership of Christ, the chief shepherd, so should the younger submit to and follow the leadership of the elders. This is God's design for the church. Now, some have argued that because Peter uses the word younger here, in contrast to elder, that what Peter is actually talking about are older and younger believers in the church, and that we should never use this passage as a leadership structure for the church. And I might even agree with them if this passage was all that we had in the New Testament on elders, and if this verse was all we had of what Peter said concerning elders. but it isn't. And the fact that Peter details for us the role of elders, the same roles we see detailed elsewhere in Scripture, should affirm to us that Peter is addressing the leadership of the church here, those who have been called to the special role of elder. Now, even with that being true, it is still quite possible that when Peter writes younger, that he is speaking of those who are younger in the church, whether that be in age or in faith. And this makes perfect sense. If there was any group in the church who would struggle with submitting themselves to the authority of another, I think history, human experience tells us it is the young, is it not? Those who may still be wrestling with either God's commands in their life or their own desire to feed their pride or to be in control. And so I think it is quite possible here that in the same way that Peter called out the leaders, the elders, who might seek to give up in the face of this turbulent time, so too he is making a special point to talk to the younger, those who may be young in age or young in faith, those who would be most likely to rebel under authority, and he is calling them to submit to those who God has placed over them. But to all people, the elders, the younger, and everyone in between, Peter says, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Peter is quoting here from Proverbs chapter 3, and what this Proverbs reveals to us is that God desires for all of his people to live in humility towards one another. It is humility that enables us, a collection of redeemed and yet still sinning people, to come together in one body and truly live for the Lord. Now, as we look back at this passage as a whole, there are a couple things that are imperative that we don't miss. God has placed elders over the church to serve and to be example of Christ's likeness to the church. Just as elders submit to Christ and his leadership, so too does the church submit to the leadership of the elders. This is an act of worship to Christ. It is honoring God's design for the church. But what this does not mean is that it is God's design for the church to blindly and in all things submit to the elders. Absolutely not. If the elders are operating for false gain, if the elders are leading the church against God's word, if the elders are not taking care of the flock, then those in the church must bring that to their attention. What I'm saying is, ultimately, the elders are accountable to God, and God sees everything. But there is also a level of accountability that the elders have to the church. And the church should always encourage elders to serve faithfully. But, and here's the second thing that we must not miss, the failure of an elder to serve, or the failure of a younger to submit, doesn't give anyone within the church permission to throw off humility toward another person. It doesn't give me permission to elevate someone else's sin as greater than my own. No, instead, in humility, while acknowledging your own fallenness and need of God's grace, you seek to bring attention to the issues within the church. You never stop giving grace and forgiveness, even as you deal with the sins of others, whether it be a leader or a younger, because you know that you daily need God's grace and forgiveness, and God has graciously given that to you. Humility must never leave us. The issue that we haven't looked at today is who is qualified to serve as an elder. And the good news for us is that the scriptures are pretty clear on who should serve in this area, and we will look and explore these scriptures as we gather together next week. Next week, the purpose of the message will be the qualifications of an elder. For now, I would like you to reflect upon what all has been shared today from the scriptures. Specifically, I would like you to use the reflection time here in just a moment to answer this question. What is your attitude? What is your heart's response to God's design of eldership? You may remember that I detailed three very common approaches to the subject of eldership at the very beginning. You could approach this topic with conflict, with confusion, or contentment. Which one of these approaches best describes where you are right now? Is there conflict? Why is there conflict? Do you believe that the Bible teaches a different form of leadership? If so, I would be more than happy to sit down with you and search the scriptures together. Is there conflict because you don't like the idea of eldership or because you have seen it abused in the past? That wouldn't surprise me at all. Elders are still people who make sinful decisions. But if you have suffered under a bad elder, the problem is likely not the biblical teaching of eldership, but with you and that elder, that broken relationship. And my encouragement to you is not to throw off the teachings of eldership, but to seek reconciliation and forgiveness with that person. Now, we have just looked at one passage, and I am just one person seeking to understand and explain this passage. So it would not surprise me at all if there were still many among us who were in a place of confusion over eldership. My encouragement to you is to study the passages that that the Bible has that speak on eldership. Use the ones I listed in the sermon notes as a starting place. That's not all of them. There are many more passages you can go to, but use those passages as a starting place and study the scriptures. Don't just take my word for it, but seek to understand what all the scriptures have to say. And also, I encourage you to be here next week as we study the topic a little bit further and we look at the qualifications of elders. We may not all be at the same place right now, but my hope is that we would all approach eldership with contentment. I hope this way, not because eldership gives me more power or influence, or anyone else for that matter, because it doesn't. I hope this way, not because it takes my job as a fellow elder and a pastor of this church and it makes it any easier, because it doesn't. I hope this way because for a person to be content with eldership, it's for that person to put their faith and trust not in a person, but in God and his design for the church. And it is trusting that what God has said in the scripture truly is what is best. And it is a great place when God's people are content with his word. Praise the Lord if we are a people who can be content under the leadership of our chief shepherd, Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have not left us on this earth to just try to figure things out and to make things work, but you have spoken to us, God, and you have given us a design of how we are to live, not only as individual believers to follow after you and to live holy lives and to extend grace and love and mercy and kindness just like we have received from you, but you've also given us a blueprint for your church, not just an arbitrary way of establishing of authority or making decisions, but you've given us this leadership structure so that your ongoing care of the church would continue while you are not here. That elders can function as a shepherd, as an under-shepherd of the chief shepherd. And that we can care for your flock. Father, we thank you for this amazing responsibility. I pray right now that you are working in hearts, Lord, drawing people to the desire to serve in this area. That there would be those in this body who are willing to give up of themselves, Lord, and to not serve themselves, but to serve the church and to care and love for the flock. God, I pray that you would raise up those men right now, that you would do that in their hearts, that they would pursue that high calling and pursue it in a selfless and sacrificial way. Father, I pray for anyone who's been abused or hurt by an elder in the past, God, and I pray that you would bring forgiveness and reconciliation into that relationship. God, that this is an uncomfortable topic for many, and Lord, I pray that even now as we have dealt with it, Lord, that you would bring your healing there. Lord, we thank you for our chief shepherd, Jesus, who guides us into all truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the salvation we have in him. Lord, may we continue to grow in our trust in him in all things. In your son's name we pray.